Hazma.
Okay, Elohim Tov.
Kol Hazman.
Elohim Tov. It's really Kozman, but we're beginners in Hebrew, so it's okay. All right, praise the Lord. Thank you guys for coming for the dedication. I appreciate that. That's awesome. Baptisms were great at the beach. The water was warmer than usual. Yeah. Well, you know, we're not in Miami. We're in California. So we got to do what we can do. But it was nice. So congratulations to Chrissy, Ryan, and my Israel also got baptized, my son. So praise the Lord for that. I want to thank Deborah. I can't read the last name too good, but it looks like I'm going to leave it and say Deborah from Valley Center, Kansas. And she sent me this beautiful card. And I want to thank her for that. I'm not going to read it because it's a little personal. But we will be praying with you and for you. And also we have this other letter here from Chelsea Welch. And she is from Madisonville, Texas. And I'm going to read her letter because I kind of liked it. It says, faith is not beginning, God can. It is trusting He will. Amen. Okay, I'm going to read her letter. It says, dear Pastor Sandy's and the entire crew at Soldiers for Christ, and I want to thank all of you guys who pray for the members and everything. You guys get on the phone with them. You don't know when you're going to get off, but you be get on the phone praying for them and doing all kinds of stuff. So I want to thank you guys, Mother Brenda, Mother Sharon, and Janelle for putting all the lists together and everything. Says thank you so much for all your messages. Thank you for speaking the truth about our Lord's perfect word. No matter what the devil tries to tell you, please don't stop doing. Please don't stop doing you. Stand firm always and know who you are in the body of Christ. God is using you for great things. So you keep on keeping on and bring us the word because we need it more than ever. A very huge thank you to you and everyone involved making the YouTube videos. You are greatly loved. Love always, Chelsea Welch. Praise God. And she gave us a couple of scriptures. So thank you for that card. And also I want to thank Deborah for her card. And my bag is getting bigger, Pastor Ben. Hallelujah. I just want to show you guys this. I know you're going to say, who is that? Look at that. Who is it? That's me with hair. You see that?
With hair.
That's my college year, my freshman year in college with hair.
And that's Derek Single.
Huh? No, because y'all gonna start laughing. And then I know some of y'all from the neighborhood, so y'all might want to braid my hair and stuff. It does look like Paris, huh? Well, anyway, I'm showing this because University of Colorado won yesterday. We beat Nebraska, and it was a miracle win. We came from behind. This guy right here is my friend who died of meningitis, Derek Singleton, while I was in college. And he died. He was at 19 years old, died of meningitis. But I was very kind of distraught after he died. And God gave me a vision or took me to heaven to visit with him. And so in heaven, when I saw him, I turned around. I heard somebody say my name and I turned around and there was Derek. I said, where am I? He said, this is part of the kingdom of God. And I went, wow. So I'm looking at all these beautiful flowers and everything. And then he said, look up there. Because, I was gazed at the flowers. They were so beautiful. He said, look up there. So I looked up and there were homes at the top of the mountain, like just rows and rows of homes. And he started telling me, this person lives there and that person lives here, and you remember him? Yeah, he lives there. And while he was telling me, every name was registering as someone I knew. So he said, come on, now I'm going to show you where God is. So we start running in the field. He's always been faster than me. So he's in front of me, and then I woke up, and I was like, but I never worried about him again because I knew where he was. And so very, very strong Christian and also very mature. He was like so mature, he was irritating because he was one of those young kids that like we would go on a trip and we would be dressed all raggedy and he would have a full suit on with a tie and looking good, and he's always getting good grades. If we have a problem, we could come talk to him. They even have an award for him at the University of Colorado. Well, anyway, I'm proud about that yesterday. And I want to read this. I'm just going to read the first row, Pastor Ben. How many do we have all together? These are all new members. Look at this, you guys.
I think it's 140.
This is just new people that joined the church worldwide, 140. Okay, and this is like adding to the 12,000 plus, but we got a lot of support and a lot of people around the world that are listening to the word, and because praise God, that's what Pastor Ben said it would happen. So, and it is. Okay, so Kevin Kenyon from he's in Ruskin, Florida. Amy Comer, she's in Houston, Texas. Mr. and Mrs. Douglas Graham, and they're in Buffalo, New York. And Sarah Haga, she's in Finland, okay? And I can't pronounce the first word. It's Stephen Fraser, and they're from the United Kingdom. And Daniela Lowenstegrag. That's my Denmark, Russia. And she is in, she's from Denmark. Madden Cheney, they don't have her where she's from. Pastor Joshua, who lives in Kenya. Sam McQuaid is in Germany. Melody, S-Y-N-G-E-R, Singar, and she's in Ontario, Canada. Rocky Brook, he's in British Columbia, Canada. Christian Sobotka, and she's in Ohio. Blanca E. Dojs in Texas. Glenda James is in Big Spring, Texas. I'm almost done, you guys. Ken Madsen in Washington. Drea probably can know how to pronounce that because I can't pronounce it. Kimberly Eddy in Seymour, Tennessee. Brenda Stephanie in Norwalk, Virginia. Brian Patrick in Shipville, Pennsylvania. And I'm going to have to read more of these on Wednesday night because the list goes on and on and on. And
Hong Kong.
Wow. Hong Kong, Austria. I'm just reading some of the places. Spain, Trinidad, wow. Yes, wow. So we're blessed, and thank you guys all for joining. And Pastor Ben, you still sending packages out too? You a hardworking man. Hallelujah. So what I wanted to talk to you guys today about is, well, first of all, I really want to give you guys kind of a pep talk. Because being in the flesh, you can't really, sometimes you miss that what you're involved in is real. Like, I wish like God could give us all a visit to heaven and see some of the people that are there and just spend a day with them so that we could see what's real on the other side of this, okay? Because of the flesh, we can't grasp it within ourselves how real heaven is. You understand? We can't really understand that our flesh is really temporary, you know? I mean, I know one guy, he got sick, and he found out I was a pastor, and he said, don't bring him to me because I'm a born-again Christian and I'm ready to go. And I was like, he has a reality, you know what I mean? He just has a reality. He's like, no, don't bring him here, because he started praying over me and I'm going to have to stay here a couple more years and I'm ready to go. So sometimes people have a reality check on what's real. You understand? You have relatives that are there, that are living in the homes that Christ made for them. You've got people that are had rough lives here and are living in glory and don't even know what sickness is anymore. You understand? And so it's hard for us to see the reality of what Christ did on the cross. Because before Christ died on the cross, the reality of being a Christian was not living within us, okay? And once we accepted Christ, he says, all things have become new, right? That means you, as a born-again Christian, has never existed before, because in your body, you've never had the Spirit of God live inside of you before.
Amen.
Now your job is to let the Holy Spirit lead and guide your day and lead and guide your life so that you can stay in communication and in relationship with God, okay? So it's hard to explain to people the reality of what we're living. Even though we know, we should know, like we look around and we see all these Satan worshipers, because remember back in the day they used to hide, you didn't know who a Satan worshiper was. You knew like a few rock bands, but that's it. But now everybody not only is worshiping Satan, but they want you to know, and they want to put it on TV, and they want to Instagram it, and it's like we're living in a complete different time, because we're living toward the end of it all, and God is about to take us out. Now, I'm going to tell you this thing, and the person said it's absolutely scary, okay? And I'm not going to mention a person's name, but it's absolutely scary. He said they have cloning centers, 15 cloning centers in America, you know, where they clone human beings, right? They can do it from a baby, or they can do it from an adult. It takes about 5 months to do it from an adult. But they wanted this person to do it, right? But he did not agree to it. But what they did was, when they had taken DNA from him, and they had already done it. So he said someone walked in the room that looked just like him, same height, and he began to talk, and he said he sounded just like me. And he said it was the scariest thing I ever seen in my life, to see another me walk in the room. He said it was scary. Okay? He was like, how did these people do this? You know? But that's what's going on in the world. You understand? He said it was scary. And I thought about it. How would you feel if somebody said, oh, we made another you, and that person walk in the room and they look just like you, talk like you? You would go, oh my God, this is crazy. And but God wanted me to know this is going on in the world. You understand? Sin has reached a height, and the Lord is coming, okay? So we have to be ready. We have to understand the reality of what God said. The world's not getting better. The world is going to get worse and worse and worse until Christ actually comes and reigns and rules here. Okay? So, let's get started in this message today. Okay. Now, me and Drea, we were watching a, I think the guy's name is Jacob and his wife's name is Rona or Rhoda. Well, I'll find out. Anyway, they film from Israel all the time. And they started talking about the rain seasons, how the rain works in Israel to make sure that the crops and everything are grown. And they said they have different words in Israel for rain, because the way the rain comes is to take care of the land. And the rain comes to take care of the land, but it's God that has to provide this rain for them at the proper time every year, so that the land is taken care of, okay? So when I found out, I started studying it, and rain is so important in heaven that they have like four and even a fifth thing called which they refer to as rain, okay? Is there's a martyr, which is any kind of rain. So at the end of Tabernacles, they pray for rain, okay? And they pray for the rain to come, okay? And so, and the first rain, this rain is for the purpose of breaking up the land, okay? So it's like this softens the ground. So right after Tabernacles, they pray for what this is called the martyr, which is like the former rain. And what that rain comes and it does, it gets the ground soft so the farmers can now dig it up and be able to plant seed, right? Then they have what they call Geshem, which is a heavy rain. And then they have Yarad, which is called the autumn rain. And this comes down, of course, you know, in the fall, right? And then they have Melkosh, which means the spring rains. And the Melkosh is a heavy, heavy rain that comes down and begins to water the land and to make sure that everything grows. And it's God that does this for them every year. Let's read, because I want you guys to, let's read in Deuteronomy chapter, I'm going to make sure I have it right. Yeah, Deuteronomy chapter 11. If you guys could go there. This is going to mean a lot when we get done. Because the rain comes down to produce good things. Okay? Now watch this in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 10 through 12. And it says, this is what God is saying to Israel. The land you are entering to take over is not like the land of Egypt from which you have come, where you planted your seed and irrigated it by foot as in a vegetable garden. So in Egypt, they have a lot of rivers, okay? God made it where all these rivers flow through Africa, through Cush, and all these rivers flow. So they would go to the rivers and they would gather the water and then they would plant their seeds, right? But he wants them to know the land I'm taking you to is very different. You don't have any rivers, okay? And listen to what I'm saying here. It says, but the land you are crossing, the Jordan, to take the possession of is a land of mountains and valleys that drink rain from heaven. It is a land the Lord your God cares for. The eyes of the Lord your God are continually on it from beginning of the year to the end. I'm going to go down to verse 14. It says, then I will send rain on your land in the season, both autumn and spring rain, so that you may gather in your grain, your new wine, and I will provide grass in the field for your cattle to eat so that you may be satisfied. So now listen what God is saying to Israel. Because they knew about planting and irrigating the fields, but they only knew about what they did in Egypt. Now they're going to a place where you don't have the rivers flowing through the land. So God is saying, you're not going to get it. I'm going to provide for you. Okay? So now all their dependence is upon God. Okay? This is a great place to be. A person who wants to have everything and to be rich is not a good thing to be. You understand? Because when you have everything that you need, you have no reason to call out to God. That was one of the things that the Jewish, when I was going to the Jewish synagogue, that was one of the things that they said was, why did God give Satan the dust of the ground to eat? The dust, how is there dust everywhere in the world?
Yeah.
Do you know that a snake will never be hungry? You know that? And they said the reason God did it, because God didn't want Satan to ever call out for him for anything. So he gave him what he needed. And you don't want to be a place where God says, I'm giving you everything you need, so I don't have to hear from you no more.
Wow.
And so God puts us in positions to need him.
Yes.
Right? Because don't you love when your kids need you?
Yes.
And it's great when they get independent and everything like that. But if they just came in and say, Mom, could you make me a sandwich? You feel like, oh, the good days are back, right? So it's a beautiful thing to be needed by a parent. And when God puts you in a place where you need him, it's a great place to be.
Yeah.
Okay? Don't desire to be so independent that you don't need God. Okay? Because that's why it's hard for rich people to enter into the kingdom. Because they don't need much, right? Mm-hmm. So it's hard for them. If they need something, they just go buy it. Okay? But if you're in this position, now you've got to get on your knees and say, Lord, I will. And then guess what? Then you get to see what God work. Then you create a relationship. Because now you see him work and you go, wow, God is good. He brought about my prayer, right? So this is what I'm telling. This is what God is trying to show us, that he brought Israel into this place for a reason. So you can learn how to depend on me. Okay? So be careful of that. Now, I want to go to the book of James chapter 5. And I'm sure James chapter 5, and I'm going to find James because I didn't mark it. There it is. James chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. Are you there?
Amen.
Okay. And it says here, wait a minute, James chapter. Okay, here it is. It says, be patient then, brother, until the Lord comes. See how the former waits for the land to yield its valuable crop. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and the spring rain. You too, be patient, stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. You hear that? Be patient then, brethren, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop. Who's the farmer?
God.
Elohim El Chai, right? El Chai, right? God is a farmer. He's harvesting the world. What is he harvesting? Souls, okay? So you got to let God be patient as the harvest takes time to become full into everything that God needs to bring into the kingdom, okay? We have barley harvest, which is the Old Testament saints. We have wheat harvest, which is the church. And we have fruit harvest, which is everyone who makes it through the tribulation and the nation of Israel, okay? So God is taking time to harvest the world of what? Resurrected souls, okay? People who have died in Christ, they are being resurrected out of the ground into the kingdom of God. Why? Because the first fruit of the harvest was Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And that harvest of Jesus Christ coming out of the ground produced the rest of the harvest, okay? Because if Jesus doesn't rise from the grave, no one else can.
Right.
You understand?
Right.
So it was a great thing that Jesus went to the cross for you. It was a great thing that he did all of the healing. It was a great thing that he was born into the world. But if he dies and he doesn't get up, we're lost.
Right.
So now he gets up from the grave, and now you have victory over death. That means you die is like walking through a door into a mansion, okay? I don't want to tell you how good it is. You might be like that guy. I'm ready to go. But you got to understand. And how many times? God showed me heaven, what, three times? I think four. I know four, okay? Each time, three times was the same experience. One time was a different. Each time, three times was at the same spot. The third time was in the city. where it's too much for you to take. Okay? And that's why the Lord said, that's why they come into heaven. They come in here and through this way, through this valley of flowers and beautiful things right there. Because if somebody just landed in the city, it would be like somebody, like you born in the world and you land in Vegas at nighttime. You'd be like, what the heck is this, right? So God doesn't do that. He's like, let me bring you into the valley and you'll be escorted to the city where you could see it from a distance. Because you know, you're taking that ride to Vegas and you see Vegas in the distance. You go, oh, it's so pretty. By the time you get there, you're ready for it, right?
Right.
So those are the three times that the Lord has shown me heaven. And it makes me realize and know and understand that there is a real place that everyone in this world, when you leave here, you're going. You understand? Life is not a period, it's a comma.
Right.
We all are going to have to continue on somewhere. Now, my friend Daniel, he's the one that said, but he was dealing drugs, he got shot. When he got shot, he went into a tunnel, he was on his way to hell. Now, he was a member here till about 2009 when he finally died. But he did die the night he got shot. And when he died, he said, hey, you know, I went into a dark tunnel and I was being escorted through this tunnel. And these demons are on the side of the tunnel and they're looking at me as I'm being escalated through this tunnel. At the end of the tunnel is flames. And he said, it stunk so bad in the tunnel. He said, but something grabbed me and I thumped back in my body. And I said, oh, my goodness. So I said, now I understand that both heaven and hell exists, right? And God wants the whole world to know that two places exist after you leave here, okay? You can ignore God if you want, but there are two places that exist after you leave here. This place here is the place that you are going to be at, that you are going to make the decision, okay? You're going to make your decision on where you're going to spend eternity right here. Okay? Okay.
Amen, Pastor.
Okay. So, see, nobody cheers for that part. They're like, yeah, but you know what? It's a real place. And we as Christians got to stop telling people that everybody goes to heaven.
Ooh.
Because I mean, I'm sure if Satan was walking the earth, his main message would be everybody goes to heaven. And that is not from God. We've got to know that there's decision. This is decision making time. You understand? You can follow God or you can follow you or you can follow what the world has set before you. OK, let's continue.
Amen.
All right. So he says, wait, he says, for the former and the latter rain. So what is the former and the latter rain? What is that? Let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 32. And in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 1 and 2. Well, we'll read 1 through 4. Now watch this. It says, listen, O heaven, I will speak. Hear, O earth, the word of my mouth. Let my teachings fall like rain, and my words descend like dew, like showers on the new grass, like abundant rain on the tender plant. Okay? I will proclaim the name of the Lord. Oh, praise the greatness of our God. He is the rock. His works are perfect, and all his ways are just and faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he. Now, understand what it's saying. He's saying from heaven, he's going to send his rain. And his rain is what? His teachings, his doctrine. Okay. When this rain falls upon you, It's looking for a good place to fall, right? Because what is God trying to produce? A harvest. So he sends this rain down upon you. And now look, he sends the early rain first. What does the early rain do? It's to break up the ground, okay? It's like that dew in the morning, that soft rain. It's just God's just sending this rain down to break up the ground, to get you prepared for a harvest, okay? It won't be until later in the year where the hard rains will come so that it can start producing inside of you. But first he knows he has to break up the hard ground, okay? Yeah. So the word of God comes down to you. It doesn't come down in Hebrew lessons. It comes down with the fact that Jesus loves you and he's thinking about you and he wants to take care of you and he wants you in the kingdom of God. Yeah. So the soft rains come down to you, and the soft rains are to do what? To break up the hard ground that the world has caused.
Amen.
Because from the time you were two, somebody is telling you something crazy, right? If you grew up in my house, you know, before my mother got saved, man, we were either, if my mother didn't get saved, I don't know where we would have landed, because we were five boys in South Central Los Angeles, and we were susceptible. I mean, Raymond Washington lived on my block. You know what I mean? So everybody was like gang members, Crips, everybody, you know, and my brother became one, a Crip, and then another brother. And then, so we're headed this way, you understand? And my, like I told you before, my uncle comes over my house and he gives me a whole stack of Playboy and Hustler magazines, and he tells me to keep them with you. Don't let your mother know I gave them to you, but enjoy them, you know? And I'm like, wait a minute, dude, I'm eight. You giving me this?
Eight?
I was eight. I was in the fourth grade. And he gave them to me. I kept them under the bed. And every now and then, I want to so see something that uncle gave me. And then we pull them out and be, ah, look at you. And you. But this is what, let me tell you something. Do you think God inspired him? My uncle was a drinker and a smoker and a weed smoker, right? Satan was guiding him, trying to push me into a lifestyle that I could never come out. So the ground was getting hard. So somebody had to come and give me the soft rain to break up the ground that was inside of me. You understand? And then once the ground got broken up, then my mother got saved. Then some harder rain came. And then I got saved at 17. And then strong rain came and then started producing fruit. And so you have to understand the rain that comes from up above is the rock. Who's the rock? Jesus. Okay? So Jesus, the rock, as it's talking about in Deuteronomy chapter 32, he says, when he comes, he says, let my teaching fall like rain and my words descend like dew. Okay? Because he came for that purpose. Let's continue here. Let's go to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. So God sent Jesus. You understand? God sent Jesus. Jesus is the rain that came down, the early, and he's the latter rain. You understand? He's the early rain that came at autumn. When was Jesus born? Tabernacles, autumn. Okay? And then when did he produce the rain? After he died on the cross. When was that? Spring. So you have the heavy, you have the light rain in the autumn, you have the heavy rain in the spring, okay? Because that's when Christ died on the cross. After he died on the cross, then the Holy Spirit was able to come in now and live inside of us. And now you're getting a flood of rain. And the rain is what? Remember, teaching. The rain that he's sending down is the teaching of who he is. Listen, 10 names in the Bible, right? You don't have to go to it. But I'm just going to read it to you, okay? First 10 names in the Bible are in Genesis chapter 5. Don't go there. Stay in Matthew. But those 10 names are Adam, right? Man. Seth, appointed. Okay? Enosh. So all these 10 names mean man has been appointed mortal sorrow. Okay? So man has been appointed by God mortal sorrow. That means it's not going to be easy here. You understand? Man has been appointed mortal sorrow. Then it says, Mahaloel, the blessed God, that name, Yarad, which is Yarad, the autumn rain, or the rain that comes down. And it says, Yarad means shall come down, okay? So the blessed God shall come down, teaching Enoch that his death, Methuselah, right? His death will give you the relief that you need or the rest that you need. So in the first 10 names of the Bible is the gospel. Man has been appointed mortal sorrow, but the blessed God will come down. Did Jesus come down?
Yes.
Yarad, as rain, doing what? Teaching what? That his death will give you the relief that you need. That's the first 10 names of the Bible. So God is sending down his son to do what? For teaching. To teach us what is necessary for you to have rest. He knows that this life is not going to be easy. But if he dies on the cross and he resurrects from the cross, then he says, all power has been given to me. I'm giving it to you. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And now you have overcome the world. So now you can walk in confidence in this world that whatever happens, Jesus is on your side.
Amen.
And you could be like the guy that said, don't send him in here because I'm ready to go. You understand? Because when you have confidence in God, when you know where you're going, when you have a relationship based on love, right?
Yes. Yes.
And listen, someone said love cast out all fear. Perfect love cast out all fear. You know what perfect love is? Do you know? Reciprocal. Read the scripture. Reciprocal. It's two. Two in love is perfect love.
Wow.
You understand? Two in love is perfect love. Not one loving, because if only one is in love and the other person is in rebellion, you can't have perfect love.
Right.
God's love is perfect, but for it to work, he needs somebody that's going to be reciprocal to his love. You understand? So now God has only made one promise to a people that he says this is a one-way deal. And that was to Abraham. He says, your descendants are going to have this land and you're going to be multiplied. Matter of fact, go to sleep because I don't want you part of this promise. This is something I'm going to do whether you get do it or not.
Wow.
But for the rest of us, for Israel, what did he say? First five commandments of the Ten Commandments is what? Love the Lord thy God with all your heart.
Yeah.
You shall have no other God before me, right? You should not have any girlfriends. You should have none. You should not have any of them on your Facebook. All this stuff. Listen. Wait a minute. I'm just telling you the first five commandments are your relationship with me, right? His first five commandments is, look, you belong to me and you'll have no other God before me. You know, the first five commandments are letting you know this is a one-on-one deal, right?
Right.
So that was not a one-way relationship. God was expecting something in return, okay? And perfect love cast out fear. Why? Because I know God loves me. And if I love God back and I'm not living in sin, I don't fear nothing. Bring it on. Because I know God is on my side. But if I'm living underhanded and bad in my relationship, I know I got a perfect love coming from God. But because of the way I'm treating the relationship, I have a fearful expectation of what could happen. You understand?
Amen.
So make your love perfect love, okay? Make it reciprocal.
Beautiful.
If that's the word. Amen. Praise God.
10 minutes, Pastor Sandy.
No way. Are you kidding?
I'm not kidding.
You gotta be kidding. Okay, so let's go back to Matthew then. It says Pastor Ben is the big time stealer. Okay, now, I want to explain this to you, but let's read this first. You in Matthew chapter 13? Okay, let's start at verse 3. Then he told them many things in a parable, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed, and he was scattering the seed. Some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky place where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, but because of the soil was shallow, but when the sun came the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seeds fell among the thorn, which grew up and choked the plant. Still others fell on good soil where it produced a crop 160 and 30 times what was sown. He who has an ear, let him hear. Okay? So now the seed is being planted. Who's the farmer?
God.
Elohim. The seed is what? The word of God. The rain that falls on the seed is what? The word of God. You understand? So the information from God is coming down upon the earth, right? And it's looking for what? Good soil. Okay? And if it finds good soil, and then the rain comes upon you, and now you've got all of this flow of water inside of you, and you've got good seed, and you've got a good ground, you can produce what is necessary for the kingdom of God. Yeah. You understand? So, Jesus is this rain that comes down. He is the former rain, which comes down in the autumn, and he is the latter rain, which provided to the whole world, okay? Because the latter rain is greater than the former rain. Jesus coming in the world was good, but him dying on the cross and resurrecting, now he was able to bring to you the latter rain. And the latter rain produced also the Holy Spirit in you, which is now going to produce a great crop. Okay?
Amen.
So now, as we... I'm thinking... Yeah, I have to read this. Okay, let's go to verse 18. Same chapter. It says, listen to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears a message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed that was sown along the path. The one who received the seed that fell on the rocky place is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy, but since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. So that's what we're trying to produce here. Deep roots, okay? Because we don't want you to last a short time. Anybody could be a Christian for 2 weeks. Go to prison, man. You could be a Christian for 6 months till you get out, right? You to be a Christian, I want to get you in deep-rooted scripture so that the rain is watering on you, so that your soil is deep, so that you can grow in Christ. So understand this, okay? So it says, the one who received the seed fell on the rocky ground is the man who hears the word, and at once he receives it with joy. But since he had no root, he lasted only a short time. When trouble and persecution came because of the word, he quickly fell away. You see that? Wow. Man. And you see, the scripture tells us to rejoice in persecution and all these things. Because if you have perfect love, you can say, Jesus on my side, who cares? Bring it on, right? I'm with Christ. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth chokes it and makes it unfruitful. You hear that?
Amen.
So now the it came and it started growing. But the world made the Christianity die out. Okay? Now, we have to understand, some of this is our responsibility.
Yes.
We have to be in a perfect relationship with God. You understand? I don't want to be in love with somebody who's not in love with me. Nobody wants to be in love with somebody who has, I got two or three other girls. Come on. It's like, I am too good for that. You look, you're talking to the wrong sister, right? But you have to understand, you want a perfect love, right? God wants a perfect love. Because in perfect love, there is no fear. All fear is cast out. You walk around like a superhero. You're like, I don't care, because I know me and God are together in this. I'm with him. He's with me 100%. Bring it on. And that's what happens, right? Lost my job one time. Last time I knew me and God were in a perfect relationship. I said, I'm so glad I got fired. I started calling friends and telling them I got fired. I said, I got fired. They say, man, you sound happy. I said, yeah, man, because I'm just wondering what God's going to do. Because I knew I was in a perfect love relationship. I went to Bible study that night. God gave me a job at the juvenile prison talking to kids about Jesus. Making twice the money. I was going to send a copy of my check to the old place for firing me because they fired me because I left my Bible on the counter, and then you're not allowed to witness inside of there, right? That's why they fired me. But God told me, no, don't do that. You don't got to be bragging. You know what I mean? But for them firing me, that just made me make more money.
Yeah.
So I knew God was with me. When you're in a perfect relationship with God, you love him, he loves you, you have confidence, okay? And it drives out fear. Praise God. So
2 minutes, man.
Those are the people in this relationship. Now I got to go to Hebrews chapter 6. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 6. Chapter 6. Because Pastor Ben said, I got 2 minutes. And I got 49 more scriptures.
Yeah.
Well, Hebrew class this week, maybe we'll talk about the other rains. Because there's another Lachish rain that produces a second harvest of wheat.
Amen.
Wow. Yeah. I was like, what? There's another harvest of wheat other than Pentecost? Let's go to this.
Really?
All right, here we go. In Hebrews chapter 6, okay, it says, therefore, let us leave elementary teaching, okay, about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance and the acts that lead to death, okay? Let's not live in elementary Christianity all the time. You understand? That's what the Lord is saying. Go down to verse 4. He said, it is impossible for those who have once been enlightened. You hear that?
Mm-hmm.
For those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted of the heavenly gift. And what's the heavenly gift? The Holy Spirit. Who have shared in the Holy Spirit. So he can explain that. He says, who have tasted the goodness of the word of God and the power of the coming age. If they fall away, to be brought back to repentance, because to their loss they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting him to public disgrace. Now, see, that's real gospel right there.
Yeah.
That's real gospel. See, now I got to tell you that, right? Because God called me and I didn't call myself.
Right.
But I got to tell you, this is not something to play with.
Amen.
There's another scripture that me and Pastor Ben like that says it'd be better that you've not known God than to have known him and to go away. You understand? So he's letting you know, look, when you come to Christ, understand what you're coming to.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I want you to know. You're coming into life. You have just been made a new creature in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
For the first time, you have inside of you the qualifications to get into the party. You never had a ticket before. You understand? You never had a ticket before. But now you got this ticket inside of you that says, bring it on.
Yeah.
Not only am I leaving and I know where I'm going, but guess what? The one who gave me the ticket has overcome the world.
Yes.
And he's going to take care of me here, and he's got me covered there. So bring it on, right? So you have this confidence. You want to have this confidence. When you came into this, you came into life. The world is worshiping Satan.
Yeah.
He's lying to him. Do you know that Jay-Z thinks he's going to get eternal life?
Yeah.
When he became a third degree of his Mason, in their chapter, it says that Satan, when he rebuilds the temple, is going to give all of his followers eternal life. And so they believe that. So all the musicians are like, wow, did you hear about Satan? He is the big rainmaker. He brings down the blessings.
Right.
So they all make songs about rain, right? And he's going to bring me rain, right? And so he blesses you with all this material stuff, and Satan is promising them eternal life. So you're going to get rain here, and you're going to get eternal life. Only thing they didn't tell you that the guy that promised you is the author of lies. Okay? I'm not saying he does it. I'm saying he invented it.
Yeah. Yeah.
The very root. He was the first one to like, yeah. What can I do that's crazy? I'll think of a lie. Something that's completely opposite of God. And this will be my way of life. And now you got a promise from him? Okay. Go with it. Let me finish reading this, Pastor Ben, and then we'll be done.
Amen.
Okay. Now. It says, if he falls away, to be brought back to repentance, because to their loss, they are crucifying the Son of God all over again. Falling away is not backsliding. Backsliding, repent and come home. Falling away is now you don't believe in Jesus no more.
Right.
Backsliding is I still believe in him, but I'm trapped because he's cute. That's backslide.
Right, right.
And I don't want to break up because I'm in love.
Good.
That's backslide. Okay. You can repent and come out of that.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Falling away is I found Islam and I'm rejecting Christ from now on.
Ooh.
You have fallen away. Okay. So we got to know the difference between falling away and backslide.
Yeah.
Now watch this. The land drinks in the rain, often falling on it. That produces a crop useful to those whom it is farmed, receives the blessing of God. But the land that produces thorns and thistles is worthless and is in danger of being cursed. In the end, it will be burned. What is he saying? He's saying when the rain of God falls upon you, okay, it is falling upon you for a purpose. To do what? To produce in you righteousness, to produce in you a godly relationship. That's why you're hearing about Jesus. It's falling on you to produce something in you that is righteous, that can be transferred to the kingdom of God. But he says, if all this Jesus talk falls upon you and you still produce thorns and thistles, it says you are in danger of being cursed and in the end will be burned. You understand? It's worthless. You understand? Who's going to reject such a great salvation that has been given to us? You understand? I have never thought that I would be the person that I am today. Never, okay? I would never thought that people could say mean things to me and I would go, Jesus loves you, have a good day. I would never think that I could go a whole day without smoking at least a 5-bag. I would never think that I could go the whole month without going to jail for beating up somebody. You understand? I was a mess. I grew up in South Central LA. I got robbed by knife point when I was in the 7th grade. When I was Israel's age, I was getting robbed by knife point for 50 cents.
Ooh.
I saw people shot. I saw people, in the South Central. I found bodies. We found a body. My friend was crying. I'm like, what you crying for? But I realized that was his first time he saw somebody dead. It was my maybe 10th time. So I was like, you know, I was hard. You understand? Jesus softened up the ground. The rain came to soften up the hard ground. Then my mother got saved, and then now more rain is me prepared for a righteous life. You understand? Amen. Then he gave his spirit to me, and now the Holy Spirit's inside. I don't like profanity. I don't need to get high. I don't want to fight nobody. I'm a different person. And I'm on my way to the kingdom. Okay? Who would want to go back to an ex-wife who was trying to kill her? The world was trying to kill me. You understand?
Right.
What am I going to go back to that for? So live. I'm not talking about the next 30 years. I'm talking about eternity joyful. You have what it takes. And you need to rejoice in that, because that rain came in the autumn. He was born in the spring. He brought forth the latter rain, the fullness, and the Holy Spirit. And look, he's coming again, right, to give you what he promised. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Pastor Ben. I know.